Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 441. Today's episode, we are going to explain how you can rank number one on Google My Business. Now, we could use this language in a lot of different ways. The way that we have it in the show title is rank number one on Google. There is a section of Google that we can get you to rank in that is very relevant to real estate agents. And so we're really excited to talk to you about it today. But before we do, my fearless co-host who gets on this show and does it every week with me go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience, John.
Right. I can tell Rob's had a very busy week. He had a rough day. By the sounds of things, he had a rough day yesterday. It showed, I think. But I'm the joint founder of MailRite. We're a platform that provides a CRM, lead generation, landing pages, email and text follow through, all in one great value package, plus a beautiful website, templates, or we can semi-customize or do full customization. It's a great platform. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. So just so everybody is familiar with this concept, John and I have been talking about it a lot. But I'm going to explain this once again. About 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Google started to shift the way that we all search for local businesses. And at first, they did that shift. And as they were doing that shift behind the scenes, many of you may or may not remember this, but they had another service called Google Plus. And Google Plus was really good for search engine optimization because Google could read this whole social engine platform. And what most people, myself included, were using that social engine for was businesses. So Google did not have a revolutionary idea. They said, well, we want the Google Plus activity on the primary search platform. And all of a sudden, they started to really ramp up. They integrated their Google Map or search feature with the Google Plus business feature, and voila, Google Business was born. Okay. And it operated in much the same way that Google Plus had been operating for the previous X amount of years. So we know how Google Plus has been operating for about a decade. It's actually a very, very long-standing service that's been integrated all into one so that you and I and John and everybody else can search for businesses. And so that you can promote your business effectively. And in all of that, Google finally had the idea that they were going to give you search prominence in the primary search algorithm if you worked hard on this free tool that they give you, the Google My Business profile. Anybody can get one. There's no cost. It doesn't cost you anything to actually start and operate the profile. It just takes your time. And you have to have some faith in one of these big technology companies, which is always questionable in my opinion. But nonetheless, there's a lot of money to be made with a bit of effort on these Google business profiles because, and I want to see if John agrees, this is really one of the most relevant ways you can promote your business. Would you agree, John?
Yeah, being that it's part of Google that controls 90%+ of all search traffic, and it's offered by them. Yeah, I kind of view it in the same way I view YouTube. You know, you're not in search. You're not going to damage yourself any way by putting stuff on YouTube and linking it to your website. And it's just my same attitude is towards my business. It's free. It won't hurt. But there's definite research and indications that if you fill it in the way that we're going to advise, you're going to get benefit as a real estate agent. And I, even in 2024, I just want to see if you agree with this, Rob. Mm-hmm. I would say about the great majority of real estate agents still don't claim their Google My Business page area, and they don't really fill in the information manually. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, I do. All right. So now that we talked a little bit about the Google Business Profile, we're going to start to get into it a bit. As with most things related to Google, there is the very upfront and forward facing activities that you can do with your profile. And then there's kind of like these advanced, a little trickier things to do for the profile. And the whole idea of being an SEO, and if there's any other SEOs that are listening to the show that really is relevant, it's always whether or not you have a large enough active case study, like group of clients that you're looking at, because nobody really knows the weight of how Google measures things. We know what they're looking at. Every SEO does. John does. We all do. We know what they're looking at. Okay. But what we don't know is exactly how impactful that particular thing is until you experiment with it for a long time. And then you base that experimentation on what you see. And now you start to get a really good understanding of how that particular tool operates. So I'm sharing hundreds of case studies and what I've seen with these Google Business Profiles. And some of it is very duh, and others of it is really, does that work? That kind of thing. But without any further ado, John, why don't you go ahead or if you do me a favor and just do the basic thing, which is called a NAP. John is going to explain what the very first principle of a NAP is, which is name, address, phone number.
Yeah, they want consistency. And what I mean by that, folks, is they're going to ask when you claim this area. And one of the tricky things is quite regularly they reconfigure this platform. Let's call it a platform. They reconfigure it quite reasonably often. The essence of it, like what Rob has said, hasn't fundamentally changed for quite a period of time, but they change the name quite regularly of the platform to use. And they used to have a way of claiming. They've altered how you access it a little bit, but the fundamentals are still the same. You go and claim your page. The only thing about claiming your page is that they send you a postcard with a serial number, and you ring a number where you go to the website and you've got to put this serial number in. So you've got to have a physical address, and it's got to be somewhere that you can pick the card up from. That's number one. And it's really got, and is not a good idea to choose an address just for this purpose, because it probably ain't going to match up with all the other things on the internet that have your address on, because their technology is going to match or see that the details that you've put in on a form to get your postcode, your postcard, matches up what they see on the internet. And if it doesn't, there's a different address here, there's a different address there, there's a different address on your brokerage, there's a different address on the website, your own website. If it don't all match up, you're not going to get the benefits that we're talking about. So everything's going to match up to Google's satisfaction. What do you reckon, Rob? Have I done a reasonable job there?
Except for, yes, few small changes. Google doesn't do postcards anymore.
Oh.
They do video. Okay? So when you try to get a profile and they want to verify your business, they now require that you send a video to them of the location. They're very specifically trying to weed out people that are using external locations that are not really their office as a location. For real estate agents, this rule is very frustrating and unclear and murky, because you've got some states that allow you as a real estate agent to work out of your home address, other states that don't. Google requires that if you are working out of your own address, that you have a proper business license and that you are properly licensed as a realtor. They just took down my profile because they couldn't see my incorporation information, which does list my location in California as a secondary location. And I have another location in another state. And so you have to be very careful, because when you submit your information to Google, they will go through extraordinary efforts to clarify it. Now, this is the part that sucks. They don't necessarily do it right when you set the profile up, John. They will let you set the profile up. They will oftentimes put it up on Google. You could hire a guy like me. You could spend a few thousand dollars optimizing your profile, and all of a sudden they can reach out to you and try to verify. And then if you invested and you didn't have, like, you weren't ready or prepared, didn't have the right licenses, as an example, it can really mess you up. You can spend
thousands. When do they do this video thing?
Generally speaking, well, I don't think that there's a set time frame, but it's probably anywhere from 3 to 6 months after you set the profile up.
All right. No, I mean, when did I get rid of the postcards?
Yeah. I think I've been seeing this happen for like the last 6 months, yeah. Maybe since the beginning of the year.
What a pain in the posterior.
It is a pain in the posterior. Now, there's one other thing that goes along with name, address, phone number stuff, which is also a pain in the posterior. This is also another place that agents of all kinds, veteran, new, they really get screwed here, John. Because when you change your address, there are very large data providers that most of you have never heard of. Yeah. Okay? They have scooped up your data without ever talking to you. And then what they do with that data is they distribute it to other people. So oftentimes, you do not know this. You are not focused on this, but your data has been distributed many, 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 many places. Strangely enough, Rupert Murdoch probably owns a lot of your data, both on the real estate transaction side and on the distribution side to other services. Now, why do I say all this? Well, for those of you who've moved your office in the last 10 years or switched an address between, let's say, your broker's physical address and your own personal physical address, then you have screwed yourself in terms of ranking, unless you have done one of two things. You've either hired a professional data company, of which there are many that focus on local, like Local EZ or Inbound REM. And we have to go out with Bright Local, White Spark. We have to go out there and change all of your data so that it matches a single physical address, because Google views this local stuff as an expertise, experience, authority, and trust metric. And they're very logical. They say, if you're a legitimate business, would you not, Mr. Business Owner, want to make sure that your address is correct everywhere that lists these businesses? Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? They don't understand the idea behind real estate agents who have no clue where they're listed.
Yeah, there was it must get even more trickier with the popularity of digital virgins at virtual brokerages. Probably gets even more tricky, doesn't it?
It does. So in other words, I don't think, John, that ranking profiles is hard at all. And in the general idea that when you physically do this stuff inside, and if you're a real estate agent, it is shocking how much progress that you can make as a real estate agent when you focus on these very basic things. But the focusing on this very basic things goes beyond what you need to do on your own profile. You actually do need to hire a service or subscribe to one yourself or spend a little bit of money on like a platform like Bright Local, something. So
it's around the concept of these local directories, which on region, these are kind of, there's like the yellow pages, you know, nobody uses yellow pages, but they still have a presence. And there's other directories that list services. You got to make sure that the address on these services match up the address that you're putting, because what you seem to be suggesting, and based on your experience, is that Google looks at all these different digital resources to determine the legitimacy of you.
Correct. It's still citations or NAPs, which is what Google calls them, because they can't ever leave anything simple. They must confuse it, always. They must use their scientist brains and go, we're going to make this as complicated for you to understand as we humanly can, and they do it on purpose, okay?
Well, so, I mean, it's having all those PhDs working for you, isn't it?
Right. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to recover the four things, and I'm going to have a couple of last little tips for people on the name, address, phone number, because believe it or not, this basic stuff is incredibly, incredibly important. I would say being able to verify your business, its location, and information like that is probably 30 to 40% of your score as it relates to your Google business profile. All right. With no further ado, like where you've seen the show, share the show, leave us a comment, message John incessantly, give his number to all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, share the show, like the show. We work really hard for you. I'll be right. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 441 of the MailRite Show. We are talking about the most exciting thing that you will ever hear in your real estate business, your Google business profile. Though I was over-exaggerating a lot, it is the most exciting thing that you can talk about, focus on, do for your business that is new. It's still only a couple years old in terms of how prolific it is. And it's like Google is still making changes dramatically, rapidly, as early as this year. Oh my God, there's so much going on with Google. They stopped the infinity scroll, John. They're changing the way that these local search packs look. There's so much going on with Google. All of it's good for real estate agents. Number two on your list, provide a business category and subcategory. John, why don't you walk us through that?
It's important. You got to select the main category, and then there's some resources that I study that say the selection of subcategories is important as well. They do give you a list, and selecting some resources say yes, other resources say it could actually not be beneficial. So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on that. But selecting the main right category, I personally, from the research I did, I think it is important to select some subcategories. They've got to be the right ones. They've got to relate in what you're actually doing. I think one of the frustrating things is you get this, they give you a list of categories to select. And sometimes that, I don't think if you're a real estate agent, it's going to be much of a problem, but the kind of services I'm offering, the options they give you aren't always match precisely what you're doing, if that makes sense. Over to you, Rob.
All right. So I'm going to take up the torch here first. So number two and three, is provide business categories and subcategories and mention the areas you serve. Ladies and gentlemen, Google business profiles are similar to all things that relate to Google. They are always looking in more than one way to have incontrovertible evidence about what you do. Okay. And like every single other thing that Google does for you for free, real estate agents and every other business owner just mercilessly take advantage of this. You look at all these subcategories, and it doesn't matter if you've never done a probate sale in your entire life or a divorce sale in your entire life. What you do is you put down every single subcategory in your business profile because it's an option. It's there. And you think to yourself, oh my goodness, I could do this if I was really, my back was up against a wall. And guess what? All of you, sorry, hate to say this, but you're polluting the Google ecosphere when you do that. You're making it harder for Google to understand what it is that you truly do or what your business is or what you specialize in. So what Google does to combat everything I just told you is they heavily lean on verification through your website and Google Maps, all right? And your reviews and the sections on your business profile that you are not paying much attention to, most likely. So that means that in order to get these categories and subcategories, which is a very straightforward process on your Google business profile, you actually need to back that up with website content, reviews, things being mentioned, in order for Google to even recognize the basics. So John, if John was doing a thing for MailRite, and John wanted to say, we build real estate websites and we do real estate marketing, as an example, right? In Reno, let's just pretend, because these profiles are actually mostly focused on local searches. Well, he did also have to have landing pages connected off his website, and he'd have to have the two, the website linked to the profile linked to the website, so on and so forth. They have to be interconnected, and the pages, the landing pages, have to be really easy to understand and read. So much so that we as a company have built out a local only product that focuses on just this mechanic, because I have discovered that it is absolutely one of the biggest mechanics there is. Now, this is very controversial, John, what I'm going to say, because WhiteSpark and Darren Shaw have come out and said that they don't think this is true. I've experienced something else. Okay. I've experienced something else. I create Google Maps on a site mostly for information verification purposes. I'm not saying that standing alone by themselves, they're a huge ranking factor. I am saying that in connection to a Google business profile, and let's say that you're trying to say as a real estate agent that you service a large geography, like all of Fort Bend County in Houston, as an example. Well, then, and we're looking at that. It's like, well, okay, we're going to say that I believe strongly that as long as you create the maps off your own email address, your Gmail address. So in other words, we create these maps using a client's Gmail address. Then those maps connect into what you do, where you serve. And I see massive correlation in it. So
it's not that surprising, because their whole thing with this whole journey they've had, it's an important part. It was, Melissa, what was her second name? She went to Yahoo. She was head of Google's local search, wasn't she, Melissa?
Marissa Meyer.
Yeah, and she went to Yahoo, and that didn't work out. But this is a big importance. They make some really good money from all this, but they've always had, I won't say problems, and they've always been working on this, and it's been around the issues that you've outlined, isn't it? And dealing with those issues, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is always tricky and challenging, but you know what? For the average agent, there's so much room here to actually be dominant. So much room, because most of the things I just explained, John, in terms of Are people doing this or not? Are they using anything on their website? Are they creating landing pages and making sure that they connect into the Google business profile? The answer is no.
It's linked to the whole importance of having your own website and not relying on your brokerage or just relying on social media, isn't it?
It is. So number four, which is very interesting that John listed this, increase your visibility with eye-catching visuals. Okay, that finally seems like you on your own put in something that I've been talking about for a while, which is user behavior as it relates to this service. I agree with you with this a bit in a large amount. But what were you thinking when you made this number four on the show notes?
Well, I think uploading images to this area, uploading video, especially if it comes from your mobile device, because in your mobile device, it's really linked to the other things. It has two benefits: having updated content that appeals to your target audience. It also, if it's uploaded by on your phone, it will be geotagged, and Google can read those tags, video and static image. And it tells Google that you were actually there where you took the picture or took the video and you uploaded it. So it tells them that, you know, it's pure. They're not being manipulated. So it has a couple clear benefits.
Agreed. All the way across the board. Okay, latitude, longitude, data that connects into location. It is my strong belief that I put onto almost all my videos that this is a signal that Google is looking at in order to verify your location, especially with location-based professions, of which there are very few that are more relevant than real estate. Real estate is extremely location-focused, and it should be, and Google is trying to make it that way. They're trying to segment out agents and all of you that are in the business so that you're not trying to sell a home all over Southern California, that you're trying to sell it in a handful of cities. It makes it easier for Google to understand. It makes it easier for the consumer to understand. Everybody is looking for these businesses to be more hyper-specific, which in turn you're seeing roll out into your Google business profile. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, the last element on our list, minutes away from when the show should end, John, number five that you got on the list, provide consistent and rich content with GMB posts. So why don't you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, they allow you to kind of do what I call micro posts on their platform. I think if you've got a content post strategy, but that's a bit higher. If you're posting on other platforms, I think it's worthwhile to post on their platform with the same content. I'm not, unless you're investing in an agency like Roberts and they do it for you, I personally don't think it's probably worth the effort to write specifically for their platform. I'm not sure it will push it. But you might have a totally different view on this, Rob, so I'll be interested in that. But it's definitely worth, if you're posting, in my opinion, if you're posting content on other platforms and it's suitable for this platform, you should be bothered to post that particular content on your GMB platform as well. It's not going to do you any harm. It gives the right signal to Google. And it also gives the right signals to your possible clients.
So I'll throw in my two cents. Here's what I feel like I've figured out. Google My Business is, you can update it. You should have, and you should share content as long as you think it's relevant to a local audience doing searches on their phone, trying to find your business. There are certain types of contents that real estate agents can put on here that probably wouldn't be relevant. Some of the content that real estate agents can put on here that are surprisingly relevant are things like listing data. Okay, listing data is really great on a Google Business profile because oftentimes when people are looking at the profile, they're looking for listings, okay? And they're looking on your Google Business profile, which has nothing to do with an IDX or any of the other tools that you use. So in order to get them onto your Google Business profile, you'd probably have to list them manually. But if you already have an Instagram strategy or other strategies where you're doing basically like a little, like your content upload package is the same. And then I agree with you 100%. It should go on your Google Business profile. User behavior is a big signal across all Google tools, full stop. People click, stay, read, watch. It's going to increase your ranking a lot, a lot. So when you're looking at your profiles and you should be following along with what do you think is useful to your audience? Okay. What do you think is going to be helpful to them? And so here's a thing that I say constantly in my reviews and my digital content. It's the who, what, why, when, where of everything. So you do, where is the property? How much does it go for? Who's listing it? Why are they listing it? You know, these are basically the pieces of content that you put on your site. But why? Because you're a real estate agent. So why are people looking at real estate agents to buy or sell property in 85 to 90% of all cases? So, and for the 5 to 10% that is not, you answer a couple of questions. You vary up the content on your profile. You know, every once in a while listing something that might be just very broadly and generally educational about your profession. And that's what I would do with this whole provide consistent and rich content with GMB posts. As far as content based on other platforms, sure, it just depends on what platforms we're talking about and how good of a job you're doing with them. If you're already doing Instagram, Instagram and Google My Business are probably the fastest, easiest conversion. You can probably in the same sitting just do Instagram and GMB, and it's going to take you an extra 5 minutes if you're already doing it. It's so easy, and it's so easy for your virtual assistant. I think my question, John, would be, why wouldn't you do it? Like, that's nutty to me to if you're doing one but not the other. All right. That's, I think we've done a good, John, I don't know how to,
I think the only question I would have to wrap up is, what's your advice to agents that are working from home and for security, especially the female real estate agents that listen to us? They might have some real legitimate concerns about, and also male, if they've got a young family and they really don't want to utilize their home address for legitimate reasons. How was your advice around this?
Well, you've got two or three options. None of them are great. All right, because this definitely violates Google's rules of service. You've got the option to go and find yourself a broker, a legitimate broker that you hang your license with and you use your broker's address. That's number one. It's perfectly acceptable and it doesn't break any rules. Okay, that's number one. But some people don't want to use their broker's address because Google My Business is location-based. That means that wherever your broker is located, that's where you rank. There's no trick around that. It would take you years to build a Google Business profile so that you could live 20 miles away from the office that you're listing, but rank where you live. That's the number one challenge that people talk about. You can try to rent a sublet. There are some pop-up offices that deal with this specific thing. They allow you to lease a very small section of their office, sometimes as small as a mailbox, but it's not a P.O. box place. It's a legitimate office building. And what they do is for a very small amount of money, they let you lease a space in their office building. Not sure if that's going to get around the new video requirements or not. Never, I haven't tried it yet. So I don't know. I don't know if that's acceptable by Google standards. My guess, my gut says it probably isn't. Does that mean you shouldn't try it? It really just depends on how extreme your circumstances are, John, in relationship to what you're talking about, like a physical location, how important it is to you, where you serve versus where you live. Like if it's really, really important to your business, because I want everybody to understand something. You may have the desire to sell Beverly Hills. You may live in Santa Monica. It's 30 miles away. you may never want to live in or afford Beverly Hills. Google really doesn't want you to be a top-ranking sales service person, because the truth is that people that live and work in the city are probably slightly more knowledgeable than you, even if you've been selling in the city for 30 years. Living there is going to be different. So Google is going to always have a preference for that. So you've got to look at that as you're developing your strategy and coming up with solutions. But there is another hack that you could do too, which is, depending on where you have your power of attorney with, if you are the very rare case, let's say as a power of attorney with somebody, in some small legal circumstances, you can actually list a business someplace else, legally and legitimately, or someplace else. If that's you, or you can make that happen, you can list whatever address that somebody has your power of attorney at, but it's a lot of steps to make this happen. Okay. But it is legal, which means that it's legitimate, but you probably are going to get caught up in Google's customer service mechanic and then have to explain yourself at some point. That's what I got.
Well, thanks for that. I thought it was a legit question to put to you, because I could feel that people listening to this will be screaming out. And thanks for that. I think it's time to wrap it up, Rob.
All right. As usual, everybody, I would like to take a moment to thank my co-host. John is the one who does, as he always says it, the donkey work for the shows. He's got 6 different things that he researched for this show. I'm not sure that they're going to make it into the show notes, but he does a lot of work to make this happen for everybody. He does a huge amount of research at times. It just depends on the show and the subject. He did a lot of research for this one. He has to deal with me. I had to move the show. That doesn't happen often, but
you don't often do that, do you?
No. Yeah.
I always try and be flexible to Rob, because he hasn't done that often. And when he does, there's a legitimate reason why he does it.
So John does all those things to make sure that you all get your 30 minutes to an hour's worth of real estate marketing advice from both of us in our various areas of expertise. We hope you find it useful. Again, thank you, John. So very much appreciate you. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody, with all of that buildup, how they could find you, reach you, why they might want to do that, so on and so forth.
Yeah, go over to the mel-riot.com. We've got the CRM, we've got the landing pages, got the email, text messaging, and a few other great services all bundled in an easy use interface. Plus, we build really lovely looking WordPress website based on our template, which we're expanding in the next couple of weeks. We will be offering a library of starter websites. Plus, we can semi-customize them or do full custom designs if you wish. So it's a great platform. Back over to you, Rob.
Beautiful. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you'd like to find me, reach out to me. If you'd like to help me out, Inbound REM has just redesigned our main landing page for all of you. If you go to inboundrem.com and then look, there's a big button that says services. We changed the way that page looked. We've published our prices online. We've made our case studies easier to find and easier to understand. You can click one button and do a whole bunch of research on pricing and all this different stuff, all without talking to anybody. And if you do want to talk to me, we changed the ways that works too. So I would love it if some of you would go check it out. And if anybody has any comments, you can just leave them in my comment section or leave them on the comment section of the website, all of which usually have really robust communication happening and advantages for you if you do me this favor. I will let your comment link be a do follow if you mention you heard it on the podcast. All right, that's it. And like three people of our 4,000, 5,000 people that listen to the show just understood me, John. By the way, I know that. So, all right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. John, if you would do us a favor and take us offline.